some head bobs. So, just throwing that out there, you know, you're allowed to do some head bobbing in church if you want. It's okay. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for inviting us to seek you. God, we long to be in your presence, and we're thankful that you are here. God, and that you're ready to receive us with your grace and mercy every single day. Teach us, Father, that we can and we should seek you in and through everything, always. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. Let it be your word spoken here today, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, seeking God with all your heart. Everybody do that perfectly every time? All right. I love it when we have a group of honest people. Yeah, I don't either. I'm pretty terrible at it a lot of times. But that's what we're going to talk about today is seeking God with everything that we've gotten. We've all had one of those moments, and perhaps you've had one of those moments even this morning, like, where are my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my wallet? Where's whatever, right? Where's my car? Who knows? Depends on what neighborhood you live in, maybe. I don't know. Right? Like, it's just things that you don't, you forget. Like, where did I put this that I had in my hand 25 seconds ago? Right? Has anybody been there? Right? So we're always seeking something, right? And it could be those things, your keys, your wallet, whatever, or more practical or more spiritual, it could be that we're seeking God, right? And we're seeking him fully. There's a lot of frustration that comes when we can't find something, right? I don't know. Vehicles nowadays usually have, like at least two sets of keys, right? I don't know. Okay, funny story, and it depends on who you talk to. She already knows what I'm going to do. Depends on who you ask. Okay, when we lived in England, we had a car, and it had one key. All right, and I don't know if you ever see like British cars, like the keys were just kind of weird, right? Not the house keys, but even the car keys were somewhat weird. We had one key. We lived in England from 2000 to 2004, okay? That is, 22 years ago now? We still don't know where that key's at. I am 100% certain I didn't lose it. Amanda is 100% certain she didn't lose it. So I'm pretty sure somebody broke into our house and stole the key. So what happened is we had to get the car towed to like a junkyard. We just got rid of it. We couldn't figure out how to get into it. Right? But that was frustrating. And it's, even when we bring it up now, we laugh about it. But there was moments where we'd get frustrated at each other because I promise I didn't do anything with this key. So there's frustration. And the moral of the story is you get frustrated when you can't find things. That was just a funny story that just came to me. And as soon as I said it, she looked up at me. She's like, oh, it's your fault. It's not. But it really, when we were seeking something, it kind of the effort that we put into it depends on what we value it at, right? Like that car key, we valued being able to go places, right? I mean, thankfully we had another vehicle there, but that was my to and from work car, so what was I going to do, right? So I valued that key, so I would search for it, and again, it was fruitless because we still don't know where it's at, right? I lost my wedding ring. I came back from Iraq. I had lost a bunch of weight because all I did was work out and dodge bullets, right? So I lost a bunch of weight. We went to Lake Sakakawea. We were at the little swimming area. And my ring just fell off my hand, right? And it wasn't one of these, tungsten rings that I wear now. It was a expensive ring with diamonds and all kinds of things in it. And now it's sitting somewhere in the sand at Lake Sakakawea. But I put a lot of value in that, so I would spend a lot of time searching for that. Lots of time. When anybody ever lost a kid at the grocery store or at a department store or something like that, right? Like time stops and you do nothing, but you start searching for your child. You search in love and you do all these different things because there's a lot of value in your kids. Do we put that same value on God when we're searching for him? Do we put that same value? The Bible uses language as seek, ask, knock, search, call, pursue, and treasure. All these words are words of desire. Right? We want to seek, we want to pursue, we want to treasure God. But do we? Describes the posture of the heart. You know, a lot of people will seek God when things are falling apart, right? When you're kind of in this deep valley and you're just having a really difficult time, that's when, you know, a lot of times people will be like, oh man, I really need to get close to God, or I need to up my prayer life, or I need to do this, that, or the other thing. But why don't we do that all the time? Right? I'm not suggesting that if we do that all the time, then you're not still going to have difficult times. But I can tell you, as somebody who has walked through some pretty dark valleys over the past several months, walking closely with him during that time and even before that time has helped me exponentially. And the same is going to be true for you. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." Now, it doesn't say, you know, seek God eventually, or when you've got time, or when everything falls apart, or when we've exhausted all other opportunities. No, it says seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about today. Luke 11:9 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." And Matthew 7 says basically the same thing: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, these aren't cold religious commands. They're warm invitations, right? They're warm invitations to knock and seek. You know, Jesus is teaching us that God is approachable. Right, that we can come to him, we can approach him. You know, I think a lot of times we might get a little freaked out, right? When we just really stop, like I when I really truly just stop and think of the magnificent and magnitude of God, I get a little freaked out, right? Because he is awesome, and I am nobody. Right? And that he would send his son to die on the cross for me and for you. Like, when you just really stop and think about that, it really kind of buckles your knees, right? But Jesus reveals God as the Father, right? He's not some, you know, customer service representative where they're just sitting on the other end of the line and just hoping and maybe even praying that you hang up before they have to do anything, right? Like, they're just super tired, they've been working all day, right? And they just don't want to have to deal with another upset customer or have to deal with another question or whatever. That's not God. He's not saying to press one for mercy or two for forgiveness or whatever. No, he's always available. He is the Father. If we move forward in Matthew 7, going to verse 9, it says, "Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now, Jesus isn't saying that earthly fathers are perfect. He's saying that even flawed parents know that, you know, their children need good things, right? They have a desire to give good things. So if you look at an imperfect earthly parent and they have this desire to give good things to their children, just think about the perfect Father in heaven and what he wants to give to each of us. He's not distant. So seeking God begins with believing that he is worth seeking, that he is worth seeking, and that he welcomes all of those that come to him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Now without faith it's impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." God rewards those who seek him. And as you saw in the video, the greatest reward isn't seeking God, it's him. It's finding him. It's being in his presence. That's the reward. We have to seek him with our entire heart. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, "But from there you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul." Now that particular phrase really matters, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. He's not interested, God isn't interested as being one among many, right? No, he's interested in being the one, right? The one in our life. He's not looking for like half-hearted, you know, worship or prayer or anything like that. He wants to be the main man in our life, right? He wants to be the Father. He wants us to continuously seek him. He wants us to seek him wholeheartedly. And do we do that? That's the question. And I'm going to leave you with this. The sermon's not over. Don't kid yourself, right? But that's what I want you to think about throughout this message, is do we actually do what he's calling us to do? Are we seeking him with everything that we've got? Through everything that we're going through, the good, the bad, everything. It doesn't mean that we always have to feel spiritually intense. Right? It doesn't mean that we always have to pray these magnificent, you know, wordy, crazy, amazing prayers. I mean, there have been times where I would pray and I would say one word and it'd just be, "God." I mean, he knows. Right? He knows. He is very fluent in all languages, including silence. He knows what's on our heart. And there have been times where I would literally just pray and say, "God." And he would answer, or he would help me navigate through whatever it is that I was trying to go through. Some days we might open the Bible and we're just amazed with what we're reading. Right, the Holy Spirit just makes those words come alive to us. And there's some days where you'll read the same verse 3 or 4 or 5 times and you're still trying to wrap your mind around what it's saying. All of these things are part of growing as a follower of Jesus. We're not gonna get it all the time. But to have that relationship with him is the first step. It's the first step in order to be able to understand and be able to focus and give him everything that we've got wholeheartedly. He really wants us to be honest with him. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge." So pour your heart out. That means bring him your joy and your grief. Bring him everything that you've got. Confusion, fear, excitement, wins, losses, everything. We don't want to pretend that we have it all together, right? Because like I've already told you probably 1,000 times so far, is he already knows it all. Right, so there's no use in pretending that we got everything together, because he already knows. He already knows that we don't. The heart of seeking God is like that wedding ring, right? We put a lot of value in that ring, what it represents, you know, what it represents in you know, that union between, you know, myself and Amanda, and the financial value of the ring, but really what it meant, right? The money thing was irrelevant, but what it represented, right? That value is what broke me. And not being able to find that And I want us all to put that same amount of value in God, in what we seek Him every single day. We seek Him because He's our Creator, our Redeemer, our Father, our Shepherd, our Savior and King. He's not our hobby. He's not just some fellow we chat about for an hour on Sunday and then forget about Him Monday through Saturday and then talk about Him again for an hour on Sunday. He should be somebody that we talk about every single day. Psalm 27:8 says, "My heart says this about you, seek His face. Lord, I will seek your face." So notice the wording here. It's seeking His face, right? Not just His hand, not just a blessing. No, seek His face. Seek His presence. Seek Him completely. You know, a lot of times we'll seek God more to more about what He might be able to do for us rather than what we should do for Him as His son or His daughter, right? What can you do for me, God, right? That's a lot of times what we do. We want an answer, right? We want that prayer answered immediately, or we want healing right now. We want a whole lot of different things. And a lot of times it's not that He's not answering or He's not in the process of answering, but I can tell you He doesn't answer everything right off the bat. There are often times where He is trying to teach us something, where He's going to be walking alongside of us as we're going through whatever it is that we're going through, and that prayer request that we are asking for might not happen immediately, but that's just Him getting us ready to continue to go through the storm. He tells us not to let those needs that we have rule our hearts. We need to first seek His kingdom. And that word first might be uncomfortable. If we go back to Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." That first can be uncomfortable. Why? Because it's telling us to check our priorities. Right, our priorities first should be Him. It should be seeking Him. It should be seeking His face. That should be the first thing. And this particular passage was in the context of worry. Right, people were worried where they didn't have, you know, food or drink or clothing. And He's saying, no, seek first the kingdom of God. He's not dismissing their worries, but He's helping them prioritize what they need to prioritize, and that is to seek Him first. And that can be uncomfortable for a lot of us, trying to seek, when we seek God first instead of all the other stuff, all the other noise that we have in our life. Seeking God first means His kingdom becomes the controlling priority of our life. So everything within our life is controlled first by Him. What he's calling us to do, whatever He's showing us, whatever it is, that's where it comes from. It originates from Him. Before we ask, what do I want, we have to ask, what does God desire? Is this His will? Before I ask, what will benefit me, we ask, what will honor Jesus? How can I get ahead? No, we should instead ask, how can I be faithful? Colossians chapter 3 says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." So seeking God first does not mean neglecting our responsibilities. It doesn't mean quitting your job or ignoring your family or sitting on a hill waiting to be that spiritual feeling until you get that, right? It means every responsibility is brought under the Lordship of Jesus. Everything that we do should be under the Lordship of Jesus. Everything. everything. How you drive a vehicle, how you talk to people, how you raise your kids, everything should be under the lordship of Jesus. Everything. Your work belongs to him. Your marriage belongs to him. Your children belong to him. Everything belongs to him. If you get nothing else out of this message, remember that under the lordship of Jesus, everything belongs to him. And he just is going to use us to do whatever he's calling us to do. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and will not be taken away, and it will not be taken away from her." So Martha was busy doing good things, but Mary chose a better thing. She sat at the feet of Jesus. So sometimes the biggest spiritual, danger isn't necessarily, you know, just doing open rebellion type things, right? Like just getting wild and crazy. A lot of times it can be distracted with busyness. We can be busy doing good things for God, but not spending time with God. Right? I mean, has anybody ever been so busy doing the Lord's work where you forget to be with the Lord? It's two different things, right? Like I love doing the Lord's work, but I get in a lot of trouble if I don't spend time with him, right? And when I say trouble, I don't mean like my day is just kind of crummy. If I don't read the word or pray or do a study or do something that gets me closer to him every day, my day is not good. It genuinely turns into kind of a crummy day. We have to seek him first. Seeking him also requires persistence. You know, we've talked in the past, you know, about praying and praying and praying and never stopping to pray. You know, a lot of times maybe we even think that we might be annoying God, right? Or, you know, maybe he's tired of listening to this broken record of prayer requests. No, we have to be persistent. He says, ask, seek, and knock. Those words suggest some sort of like ongoing action, right? Ask, seek, knock, continue to do this. It doesn't mean we manipulate God with repetition, right? It means we remain dependent on him. We remain focused on him. Persistent prayer isn't about wearing him down. It's about him shaping us for the future. For whatever he's preparing us for, continue to pray. And Luke 18:1 says, "Now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up." Pray always and not give up. So there's times when seeking God just feels, you know, kind of natural and joyful and exciting. And there's some other times when maybe we're just in a real struggle bus situation and it just feels really hard, really tough, really heavy. We have to seek him in all of those circumstances. Doesn't matter what it is that we're going through. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 12, says, "You will call to me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you." So these words were spoken to God's people in exile. They weren't living an easy life or circumstances. They were far from home, right? They're really in a challenging situation. They've been disrupted. But the good news is, in verse 14, "I will be found by you." I will be found by you. That is good news. You can seek God from a place of disappointment, from a place of excitement. You can seek God in and through anything. failure, grief, whatever it is, you will find him. He's not limited by our location, praise God, right? Especially like, praise God, in like January, right? I mean, do you want to quit? Like, God, are you still going to come around when it's 30 below? No, he's still here, and he's still wearing sandals. That's what's wild. In fairness, so does Amanda, but, right? He's always available, always. The question isn't, are my circumstances ideal? The question is, will I seek God through them? Will I seek God through my circumstances and not just wait until they're just right for he might be able to do something about it? Let me tell you, spoiler alert, he can do something about it at any time, no matter what the circumstances are. I promise. You know why I can promise that? Because that's the promise that's in here. Right? You know, there's a child knocking on their parents' door, right? Their bedroom door. Don't get your. They're sleeping. The child is like 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe they had a nightmare or whatever. They knock on the door. Maybe their parents are like me, and they just are dead asleep. They don't wake up for anything, right? You got the CPAP going. And, you know, there's a hum. You know, there's air being pushed in your face, right? Maybe that's what the parents are like. And the kid just knocks a little bit louder, a little bit louder, a little bit louder, and nothing, nothing, nothing. And then a little bit later, kid's still banging on the door, but this time says, Mom, Dad, starts yelling for them. They can be persistent. Why is that? Because there's somebody on the other side of the door whose name, Mom or Dad, they're calling out. So are we knocking on the door? Are we knocking on the door calling out God? God! God! I need you. I need you in this circumstance in my life. I need you in this challenge. Jesus tells us to knock, because there's a father on the other side who's going to hear. That should be exciting news for all of us. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. The invitation is urgent because the opportunity is gracious. We can't harden our heart. Can't postpone obedience. We can't wait until things are a little easier. No, it's urgent. Do it now. Seek him now. And seeking God means treasuring his wisdom as well. In Proverbs chapter 2, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, the it in this passage is referring to wisdom, understanding, and the fear of the Lord. Proverbs teach us that God's wisdom is worth searching for like a treasure, right? And it is. I don't know if you ever, you know, just been had a little bit of wisdom from God bestowed on you, but it is pretty remarkable when you get that. Nobody casually searches for a hidden treasure, right? No, they seek it with, you know, deliberately and very methodically, and they really focus on whatever this treasure is that they're seeking. And that's what this is. This is the greatest treasure, written treasure, right? Jesus is the greatest treasure of all. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And verse 11 in Psalm 119 says, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. So seeking God means that we open his word with humility and with expectation. Oh, expect something when you read his word. Expect something, because I promise you it will happen. We don't come to scripture looking for information, right? I mean, maybe we want to get some sort of information, but that's not the goal. The goal when we're reading Scripture isn't information, it's transformation. We want Him to transform us. Seeking God doesn't mean chasing every spiritual impression. It means submitting to the revealed truth that comes from Scripture. And seeking God leads us to Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now this is where the gospel really becomes central. We don't seek Him successfully because we're some sort of, you know, spiritually impressive person. We're not some sort of, you know, theology degree. We don't have anything like that. No, we seek Him because He first sought us. Because He first sought us, and then we seek Him and we find Him. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. So before we ever searched for Him, He was searching for us. Boy, I'm excited about that. Jesus entered our world, lived a sinless life, and died for you and for me, so that we could live in eternity with Him. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves His own love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means seeking Him isn't about earning His love. It's about responding to His grace. Responding to His grace. And some people avoid seeking God because they feel unworthy. They just feel like maybe they've done so much in their past that God just can't forgive them for whatever it is. I'm almost certain that that's part of the reason my brother hasn't come to a relationship with Jesus. Because he's got a lot of guilt and shame and, you know, past mistakes that he just can't seem to climb over. It's like, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. Right, so I continue to pray for 30 years and 30 years and 30 years until he finally makes the decision where the Holy Spirit just takes hold of his heart and says, hey, dude, I got you. If you seek him today, you'll not find a Savior reluctant to receive you. Right? He is so ready with open arms saying, yes, come. I am so excited. The scripture says the angels are going to be cheering and having a party. It means we come to Jesus, the one who came for us. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. So we have to seek him. We have to continuously seek him. It doesn't matter if you are a follower of Jesus right now or not. I mean, it matters if you're not, because I want you to be a follower of Jesus. Be very clear about that. But if you're following Jesus, it doesn't mean, okay, I've checked the box. I don't have to continue to seek after him. No, we have to seek after him every single day. Every single minute, every second of every day. Our entire life should be revolved around this relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a promise that we need to hold on to, that Proverbs 8:17. Those who love me and those who have searched for me will find me. We search for him. Scripture says that's a promise. We will find him. We will find him. The world tells us to seek comfort, success, approval, pleasure, control, and security. Jesus tells us what? To first seek his kingdom. And that's the question. Are we seeking his kingdom first? Are we seeking his kingdom first? Or are we seeking, you know, money first, or a job first, or, you know, family? What are we seeking first? And if it's not that we're seeking his kingdom first, then we need to reevaluate ourselves. Not what you do, or not what you know should matter most, but what your choices, your calendar, your habits, all these things shouldn't be something that we put before God, right? Not relationships, unless it's with Him, right? Kids, job, money, none of that stuff comes before Him. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. So we can't settle for this distant 1 hour a week relationship, because that's not a relationship. I don't know if anybody who has, like, if you look at the really amazing relationships that you have in your life, and you only spend 1 hour a week with this particular person, would that relationship really be super strong and amazing? And would they know everything about you and you know everything about them? And probably not. That's why we have to seek Him first every single second of every day. Can't settle. Seek Him in obedience. Seek Him when life is joyful, when life is not so joyful, when life is throwing curveballs at you. Seek Him always. And as you seek Him, remember, the God you are seeking is the God who has been seeking you already. Let's pray. Gracious God, Lord, forgive us for the times that we have sought lesser things before seeking you. God, teach us to seek first your kingdom and righteousness, to treasure your word and to come to you with whole hearts. God, thank you for seeking and saving us through your Son, Jesus. Draw us closer to you. God, make our lives a testimony of your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.